Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 30, 2015. Top U.S. diplomat speaks tough on the need for peace in South Sudan.
Patience of my country, of the region, and of your other international partners has run out. Too many lives have been lost, too many millions of South Sudanese displaced, and too many on the verge of starvation and facing homelessness. The talks cannot continue without end. This situation cannot go on any longer.
And on the matters today, what does the widow of John Garang think about the IGAD Plus peace plan?
For Dr. Riek, what he needed is security. And he will have those the army for the period of the interim period. The government of South Sudan has been given 53%. What else are we delaying the peace? I don't see why the peace is being delayed.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Hundreds, if not thousands, of South Sudanese are celebrating Martyrs' Day today at the John Garang Mausoleum in the capital, Juba, where dignitaries, including President Salva Kiir, are addressing the crowd. President Kiir says the war must end in order to restore the hope of the South Sudanese people.
My dear citizens, it is now our responsibility to never let their deaths be in vain. The Masulia Batana Kulana. As we find ourselves at the crossroads, we must choose the right path that leads us back to peace and prosperity. I mean, in all harpal nanu gaidin fokasa. Zem ana guldu yom tisa fichard, ana guldu de harp mind mana. Senseless war. Falofita riga. Then we trace back our steps so that we bring peace. It will be better for our people.
Mr. Kiir says he will not sign the IGAD Plus compromise peace agreement in its current form, but will continue to speak to the rebels to try to work out a deal. For his part, rebel leader Riek Machar says Martyrs' Day is a reminder that the people of South Sudan sacrificed millions of lives in order to achieve freedom and sovereign independence. In a statement today released by his spokesman, James Gadet, Machar said, quote, "It is unfortunate that our people have continued to shed blood after independence to resist a dictatorship that threatens to deny them freedom, democracy, justice, and development, which millions died for during decades of liberation struggle." It was 10 years ago today, South Sudan's founding father, John Garang Dimabior, was killed in a helicopter crash on his way from Uganda to New Kush in South Sudan. Garang founded the ruling Sudan People's Liberation Movement and the Sudan People's Liberation Army. Apart from leading these two institutions, He also negotiated an end to the 21 years of fighting between the SPLA and the government in Khartoum. Garang was a charismatic leader who was loved by South Sudanese not only for his bravery, but for his humor. On December 31, 2004, he made the following remarks after reaching a deal with Sudan's governing National Congress Party to end the fighting in Sudan.
"We have been asked by General Sumbeyo not to talk. And I almost rebelled. But then I was told to be patient and wait until the 9th so that I can talk. After a short and intensive negotiation with General Sumbeyo, I accept it."
We have an agreement
that I will talk on the 9th. So mine is only to greet you and to thank all that have contributed to this great occasion.
Garang had a doctorate degree in economics from Iowa State University. He was a critical thinker who narrates issues in Sudan and South Sudan thoroughly. He was passionate about nature and a very friendly person. Here is Garang thanking his host during his time negotiating a peace deal for Sudan 10 years ago.
I am being warned that I have run out of time, so let me end by thanking the hotel here, the management, and my special guests, the hippos here. I made great acquaintance with them. We have been here for 16 months. And there is a lone water buck, that male one, that comes here. We almost greet each other whenever we see each other here. And there are some Egyptian geese that land on my window. I say shukran to all of them for making life comfortable for us here in the last 16 months. Thank you very much.
John Garang speaking to reporters in Naivasha on December 31st, 2004. Rebecca Nyandeng is Garang's widow. She has been echoing her husband's dreams of peaceful and independent South Sudan since her husband's death. Nyandeng says South Sudanese leaders are selfish and greedy. She says the current IGAD Plus compromise peace proposal is a good deal for the people of South Sudan. And she says her late husband would have done a much better job governing today than President Kiir or Riek Machar.
The vision of New Sudan has been living on with him, even in the first war. And then also the South African rainbow country also gave us a lesson that people can live under a united country. But he was a visionary leader who could drive that. Now you could see us with a small vision of South Sudan. We are not able to move with that vision. The vision of the SPLM, we have dropped it. The dream of people of South Sudan is shattered. So you can see how difficult a situation of a charismatic leader, when he dies, everything dies with him, and especially in our case in Southern Sudan.
You're a leader in your community, you're a leader in South Sudan. A lot of South Sudanese respect you for what your husband has done for this country. What is the problem with the leaders of South Sudan? Why are they not bringing an end to this fighting?
The problem is that we as a leader of South Sudan, we are very selfish. We don't think about our people. We are people who have not governed ourselves before. We have been in a struggle all our lives. But after the struggle of 21 years, I thought that people have developed allegiance to the country, which has taken the life of people. And on top of that, the leader, the captain of the ship, died. After that, when we came back, we rushed to position. We rushed to salaries. We forgot about the disadvantaged groups. We forgot about the people of Southern Sudan. So our problem is selfishness. We need power sharing. Some people are talking about federalism. People are talking about wealth sharing. These are not the priority now at this moment as we are speaking.
This new document that has been circulating from last week called the South Sudan Compromise Peace Document. What is your take on this document? Do you agree with the proposal in that document?
If you put me there, I would say yes, because what I wanted is to achieve peace. As for Dr. Riek, what he needed is security. And he will have the army for the period of the interim period. The government of South Sudan has been given 53%. What else are we delaying the peace? I don't see why the peace is being delayed.
The ball is in the court of SPLM. A lot of people, including analysts in South Sudanese, are saying this problem started within the SPLM and it is SPLM to come with a solution. Why is the SPLM still not able to come out of its problems?
You're talking about a divided house. You know, even in a family, if a husband and a wife are divided, it takes some time for them to regain the confidence between themselves. So we are not united as such. We are in a process of seeing into it that we need to unite SPLM, a historical party, and we should not just throw it away like that.
People who are looking at the politics of South Sudan very, very careful have concluded that the dream of SPLM has been hijacked by a few individuals who have a different agenda. Do you subscribe to that conclusion?
There are a few people around President Salva who have different agenda, but the people who fought for that and brought SPLM into life are still alive. So I wouldn't say that these things have gone for good. Politics is a process. Things change as people go along.
I agree with you. Politics is dynamic. But the problem here is there are people who are saying that South Sudan is on fire. And people who are in the firefighting brigade, like you, Dr. Yek, and President Kiir, who are supposed to put off the fire, are not putting off the fire. Instead, they are blaming each other for who started the fire.
In a city like Washington, D.C., you have only one fire brigade tank to put off the fire in Washington. Then you will not do anything. There are people behind there who can put off this fire.
And why are they not putting off the fire?
It will. This is why we said the 17th, that the peace will be signed on the 17th. I'm also a believer, and I say that nobody can stop God's agenda. When God says that this is its agenda, it will always roll on. I'm very hopeful that peace will be signed on the 17th of August.
That's Rebecca Nyandeng, widow of the founder of the ruling South Sudan People's Liberation Movement. Nyandeng is also a senior member of the SPLM party. She was speaking with me from Nairobi earlier today. A top U.S. diplomat in Juba this week says it's time for South Sudan's warring parties to make final compromises that will end the country's 19-month-long conflict. The two sides are considering how they will respond to the IGAD Plus proposed compromise agreement, which was recently presented to the warring parties. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba.
U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, flanked by the new U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan, Mary Catherine Fee, did not mince words at a news conference in Juba today when he urged both sides to stop haggling over details and sign a peace deal.
Patience of my country, of the region, and of your other international partners has run out. Too many lives have been lost, too many millions of South Sudanese displaced, and too many on the verge of starvation and facing homelessness. The talks cannot continue without end. South Sudan's leaders on both sides must act to spare the people from this suffering. This situation cannot go on any longer.
Booth arrived in Juba yesterday for a two-day visit aimed at moving along the peace process. He met with the government officials and civil society representatives taking part in consultations on the proposed compromise agreement. Booth's visit comes on the heels of U.S. President Barack Obama's visit to Ethiopia, where he called on both sides to sign a peace agreement by August 17th. Mr. Obama said failure to sign a deal next month would likely lead to more sanctions on the major players in South Sudan's conflict. Booth called the IGAD Plus agreement the perfect deal, which addresses South Sudan's key issues.
There are some areas that I know there's still disagreement on, and that's what the next round of negotiations is for, to address those issues where there still is not agreement, to find new compromises that are more acceptable to both sides if what has been put forward by IGAD is not. If they can do that, all of the IGAD Plus partners will applaud and support that. But if they can't, they need to move on with the best compromise that's been put forward.
Some South Sudanese observers, including James Okuk, a lecturer of political science at Juba University, believe the deal could split the country into separate territories, including placing the Upper Nile region under rebel control. Booth says both sides must be willing to compromise on power sharing in order to strike a deal.
On the one hand, the opposition has told me repeatedly that there should be power sharing in all 10 states. And I think the position of the government, I don't want to speak for the government, has been that if there's any power sharing at all, it at least should be not what has been put in this proposal. This strikes me as being something that I would expect the negotiators to come to the table in Addis on August 6th and work this out.
Booth says South Sudan's leaders must salvage the country's image, which is now perceived by the world as a nation plagued by starvation, fighting, and suffering. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
During President Obama's recent trip to Ethiopia, he and regional leaders discussed options for restoring peace in South Sudan that included sanctions and a regional intervention force if South Sudan's warring parties do not agree on a peace deal next month. Lenny Ruvaga reports from Nairobi there are different options on whether those options will work.
Meeting Monday with regional leaders in Ethiopia, U.S. President Barack Obama called for a regional intervention force and more sanctions to force both sides in the South Sudan conflict to the negotiating table. Pouok Both Balaung, Director of Information of the Rebel Sudan People's Liberation Movement and Army, SPLM-SPLA, mission in Kenya, told VOA the proposed regional force would not be of much use.
I don't think so that the regional forces can bring peace because all this, the regional countries, they didn't know the nature of our crisis, our war right now as a South Sudanese. Many countries right now, they are debating about whose side they're taking because they didn't understand the nature or the foundation of that crisis.
Dr. Emmanuel Kisiangani from the Institute for Security Studies, a global think tank, disagrees. He says sanctions and a regional force could indeed bring about peace.
It depends on who constitutes that force. We already have Uganda inside South Sudan, and I'm not sure to what extent the parties will see it as a neutral force. So it depends on who constitutes that. If you have actors who are not siding with any of the parties, I think it can play a role in terms of promoting ceasefire, which is necessary at least to start rebuilding the country and also for peace-building efforts.
Since December 2013, inter-ethnic violence has gripped South Sudan, leaving thousands dead. Regional efforts by IGAD, the East African Regional Bloc, have not led to a cessation of the war. South Sudan's warring factions face sanctions and other measures if a peace agreement is not reached by August the 17th. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, health officials are addressing the cholera outbreak in Juba. More on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you think magic or juju is real? Why?
Yeah, juju is really, it's real. Because if someone really works on you, it gets you properly. But then if you're like, you have the word of God, if you're prayerful, it always comes. Within the shortest time, it disappears.
Well, I don't believe in that because I am not, I don't practice that magic or whatever it's called. Really, it's not really real to me because if at times it might look real because those ones who did it, they say you can get whatever you want, but after getting it, there's a side effect you will get.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. More than 40 people have died from cholera cases since South Sudanese health officials declared an outbreak in several locations, including Juba. As Philip Thonaleu reports for VOA from the capital, avoiding contaminated food and drinking clean water remains a challenge for many residents who are struggling to feed their families.
For two people have died, and a total of 1,399 cholera cases have been reported in Juba and Bor, according to the World Health Organization and the Ministry of Health this year. 41 of the 42 deaths were from 7 Payams in Juba. The other death was from Malo in Makwai Payam of Bor County. Of the 42 deaths, 6 are children under the age of 5 years, according to UNICEF. In response to the crisis, government and health partners, including MSF, the French acronyms for Doctors Without Borders, increase the number of temporary cholera treatment centers, or CTCs. The Muniki Center just opened 2 weeks ago. It is divided into three sections, including intensive care, hospitalization, and recovery units. A 7-year-old girl is among the 42 confirmed cases at the center. She is the daughter of an anxious parent named Monica, who preferred not to use her last name.
This disease is very serious. I stayed awake up to 5 o'clock in the morning thinking my child will die. But today, she is able to sit on her own.
But Monica says not everyone in her neighborhood has been as lucky. She says some families she knows lost their loved ones. At the Munichi Center, Jessica Joanna sits up in her bed in the recovery unit. Joanna says the new center is only a stone's throw away from her home. In the past, she says, cholera patients had to travel long distances to receive treatment.
This facility has helped me. I am now better. I was very sick. I was not able to walk on my own. I was vomiting and had diarrhea. Now there is no vomiting and diarrhea.
Winston Mulanda, the deputy medical coordinator for MSF Holland in South Sudan, says the strategy of bringing cholera treatment close to where the most vulnerable citizens live is critically important.
We have to pass the message to the community, and as soon as possible, they can reach the CTC. That's the most important things, and then we don't lose time. Because when you are dealing with cholera patients, time is really important.
Mulanda says the Munichi Center has a 150-bed capacity and several qualified nurses. He says individuals must be vigilant about drinking only clean and chlorinated water to prevent the disease from spreading. Juba, like other major towns in South Sudan, does not have five water in all of its suburbs. John Zero, a resident of Juba's Kirkat suburb, says he follows a strict personal hygiene routine of washing his hands with soap and water every time after using the toilet and before eating. Zero says he and his family also make sure their cooking utensils are clean.
Exactly where I stay, there are no cases of cholera reported. The only places where I can hear it of is places like Gumbo.
Kirkat, like Gumbo, is at the eastern bank of the River Nile and near the Juba Numili Road. Zero says there is no pipe water in either of the two neighborhoods. He thinks Kirkat residents are lucky not to have a single documented case of cholera since the outbreak was confirmed.
Maybe God has just given us some chances, but I don't think it's really clear.
Cholera outbreaks are not uncommon in South Sudan. Last year, 167 people died from cholera. Mulanda says the lower numbers this year could be attributed to less rainfall. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Human trafficking continues to be a huge problem all over the world. And on this World Day to End Trafficking, a Ugandan woman in South Sudan is being recognized by the State Department for her efforts to stop sexual exploitation in the capital, Juba. Catherine Konendaik Nabokasi is among 8 people Secretary of State John Kerry named as heroes this week in Washington. Nabokasi tells South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior she did not expect the award.
I felt so overwhelmed with emotion and giving me more energy and more passion for these children, and to know that what I was doing was right, and to know that there were so many other people around the world who thought that is the right thing to do. I felt very, very, very much honored. And also I reflected on all those people who had helped me to make it a success.
Could you tell me your story of a young Ugandan girl who travels to South Sudan and decides to invest her life and passion to work for the forgotten children of South Sudan?
Although I'm not South Sudanese, I considered myself as an African, and South Sudan has always been at my heart because I worked there. I read all the stories of slavery, of even the girl in Darfur. I got so angry about things that were happening. I worked there and I saw the destitution and the desperation of children, the suffering, the dying, people just dying like flies. There was nothing to protect you when you were there. So I really wanted to go to South Sudan, and I really hoped that everybody feels the way I feel about it. So that's why I went to work.
What keeps you passionate and motivated to continue your work despite the immense challenges that Confident Children Out of Conflict faces?
This organization helps me discover the plight of children who represented a lot of South Sudanese, because there hasn't been protection for a very long time for people who had lived for many years in IDP camps, how the situation had broken down. And I thought I would work with these children, because I discovered that there were so many children who were sexually abused, who were engaging in prostitution, and somehow there was no organization at the time trying to do something about it. And at that point, at some point, there was a child who was gang raped, and for me it was too much. And I decided that I had to do this, and I had to do it whether I had money or not. And I didn't have any money, but I started to do it with a few girls. And then eventually girls brought others. I worked also with boys and tried my best to help them, because I realized that I was protected, I was educated. They had no education. They were there suffering. And if I am just looking for a job, or because I'm not employed, it's the problem. What about them who are not even educated, who don't have anything? If I don't survive, then I don't expect them to survive. So I decided that I will work with them, a few of them at a time. Unfortunately, they started telling each other, and then they became many.
What's it like for you to watch that transformation in these children who live a life of fear and anxiety into a life where children live or should live as children? What's it like for you to see that transformation?
When you ask that question, I get goosebumps. You should see me. It is the most rewarding thing that I can ever get. It's better than anything for me to see that these children, who are nothing, and they are becoming everything. We have some of the brightest girls in our program. One of the girls is now in school in Uganda, and she's getting distinctions. Imagine getting 12 distinctions. She wants to be a doctor, and she will be. And we have some of the brightest children in the program. And so for me, it shows that there are children out there who should be part, and they are being left out because of the situation.
That's Catherine Konedai Nabukasi speaking to reporter Ayen Bure in Washington. Nabukasi runs a shelter for street children in Juba. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Hundreds of South Sudanese are celebrating Martyrs' Day today at the John Garang Mausoleum in Juba, where President Kiir addressed the crowd. Mr. Kiir says the war must end to restore the hope of the South Sudanese people. Mr. Kiir also said he will not sign the IGAD Plus Compromise Peace Agreement in its current form, but will continue to speak to the rebels. Rebel leader Riek Machar says Martyrs' Day is a reminder that South Sudanese sacrificed millions of lives in order to achieve freedom. It was 10 years ago today that South Sudan's founding father, John Garang de Mabior, was killed in a helicopter crash. Garang founded the ruling Sudan People's Liberation Movement. Rebecca Nyandeng, Garang's widow, has been echoing her husband's dreams of a peaceful and independent South Sudan. She says South Sudanese leaders are selfish and greedy. And finally, a top U.S. diplomat in Juba says it's time for South Sudan's warring parties to make final compromises to end the conflict. U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, says the patience of the U.S., of the region, and of other international partners has run out. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Carol. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Jere Jere by Dynamic.
All right. Sudanese child. Ooh yeah, ooh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh yeah. Ruka music. Auma. Jere jere fi dunia de.
Jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala.
Jere jere.
Suata ta dunia de.
Suata, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala. Maderu geni sawa
sunu bata
wenu salamta.
We have been listening to Dynamic with the song Jere Jere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Sibuna si zambala.